Chapter 50. I assume you have weighed the staggering consequences of your accusations? Maganin looked at the soft-spoken little man with the cold blue eyes. Admiral Boris Sloyuk seemed more the baker around the corner than the shrewd head of the Soviet Union's second-largest intelligence-gathering network. I fully realize, Comrade Admiral, that I am jeopardizing my naval career and risking a prison sentence, but I place duty to the state above my personal ambitions. Very noble of you, Lieutenant, Sloyuk said without expression. The charges you have brought are extremely damaging, to say the least. However, you have not produced concrete evidence that indicates Captain Prevlov is a traitor to our country, and without it, I cannot condemn a man on his subordinate's word alone. Maganin nodded, but he had planned this confrontation with the admiral carefully. Bypassing Prevlov and the normal chain of command to approach Sloyuk had been a risky business indeed, but the trap had been exactingly set, and timing was critical. Calmly, he reached into his pocket and produced an envelope which he passed across the desk to Sloyuk. Here are transaction records of account number AZF-7609 at the Banque de Lausanne in Switzerland. You will note, sir, that it receives large deposits on a regular basis from one V. Volper, a clumsy anagram derived from the name Prevlov. Sloyuk studied the bank records and then shot Maganin a very skeptical look. You must forgive my suspicious nature, Lieutenant Maganin, but this has all the earmarks of trumped-up material. Maganin passed across another envelope. This one contains a secret communication from the American ambassador here in Moscow to the Defense Department in Washington. In it, he states that Captain Andrei Prevlov has been a vital source of Soviet naval secrets. The ambassador has also included the plans for our fleet deployment in the event of a first nuclear strike against the United States. Maganin felt satisfaction surge through him as the admiral's normally impassive face wrinkled in uncertainty. I think the picture is clear. There is nothing trumped up here. A low-ranking officer in my position could not possibly obtain such highly classified fleet orders. Captain Prevlov, on the other hand, enjoys the confidence of the Soviet Naval Strategy Committee. The barriers were down, and the road was open. Sloyuk had no option but to acquiesce. He shook his head in perplexity. The son of a great party leader who betrays his country for money. I find it impossible to accept. If one takes into consideration Captain Prevlov's extravagant lifestyle, it is not difficult to see the excessive demands made upon his financial resources. I am well aware of Captain Prevlov's tastes. Are you also aware that he is having an affair with a woman who passes herself off as the wife of the American ambassador's chief aide? An annoyed look crossed Sloyuk's face. You know about her? He asked guardedly. Prevlov led me to believe that he was using her to obtain secrets from her husband at the embassy. Not so, Marganin said. In fact, she is a divorcee and an agent of the Central Intelligence Agency. Maganin paused and then drove the point home. The only secrets that pass through her hands are those provided by Captain Prevlov. It is he who is her source. Sloyuk was silent for a few moments. Then he locked Maganin with a penetrating gaze. How did you come by all this? I would rather not divulge my informant's identity, Comrade Admiral. I mean no disrespect, but I have nurtured and developed his trust for nearly 2 years, and I gave him a solemn oath that his name and position with the American government would remain known only to me. Sloyuk nodded. He accepted it. You realize, of course, that this puts us in a very grave situation. The Byzanium? Exactly, Sloyuk said tersely. If Prevlov told the Americans of our plan, it could prove disastrous. Once the Byzanium is in their hands and the Sicilian project is operational, the balance of power would be theirs for the next decade. Perhaps Captain Prevlov has not leaked our plan yet, Maganin said. Perhaps he was waiting until the Titanic was raised. She has risen, Sloyuk said. Not more than 3 hours ago, Captain Porotkin of the Mikhail Kurkov reported that the Titanic is on the surface and ready to be taken in tow. Maganin looked up, surprised. But our agents, Silver and Gold, assured us the raising would not be attempted for another 72 hours. Sloyuk shrugged. The Americans are always in a hurry. Then we must cancel Captain Prevlov's plan to seize the Byzanium in favor of one with credence. Prevlov's plan. Maganin had to suppress a grin when he said it. The shrewd captain's colossal ego would be his downfall. From here on in, Maganin thought confidently, the drama would have to be played out very, very carefully. It is too late to change our strategy now, Sloyuk said slowly. The men and ships are in place. We will go ahead as scheduled. But what about Captain Prevlov? Surely you will order his arrest. Sloyuk looked at Maganin coldly. No, Lieutenant. He will remain at his duties. He cannot be trusted, Maganin said desperately. You have seen the evidence. I have seen nothing that cannot be manufactured, Sloyuk snapped brusquely. Your little package comes too neatly wrapped, too meticulously tied with ribbon to be bought at first glance. What I do see is a young upstart who is stabbing his superior in the back in order to reach the next rung on the ladder of promotion. Purges went out before you were born, Lieutenant. You played a dangerous game, and you lost. I assure you. Enough. Sloyuk's tone was hard as granite. I am secure in the knowledge that the Byzanium will be safely on board a Soviet ship no later than 3 days from now, an event that will prove Captain Prevlov's loyalty and your guilt.